K89 VBI, mobile.
K2, K88 UDC.
B3, KI9AB. Tony Bell, how you guys doing?
Let's see, partly cloudy, with a chance of rain. Oh no, that would be the weather. But it might be how I'm doing also. But I'll be okay. K88UGB.
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks, Steve. Getting things started here. Fired up the old laptop and heading to East Chicago. And thinking about what I'm going to do in amateur radio this weekend.
All right, I think I got most of that, Bill. I think I doubled with you. I'm sorry. K89 PBR.
Oh, no big deal. Back to you, Steve. I didn't really say anything. Good morning to you, though. Go ahead.
Well, it sounds interesting. You got your laptop out, and you're firing up. You're looking forward to firing up the radios for this weekend. Well, that's cool. What are you going to do?
Probably crack open that QMX Plus this weekend and poke around in there and see if I can't break it. Also, think that I'm going to build a dipole. I kind of ruined my dipole this weekend or last weekend on the camping trip at 2040 fan. I think that's I tore my speaker line. Part of it was speaker wire. So I'll probably just put it up as a 20 meter dipole. Well, that way I've got a resonant antenna for that QMX Plus at least to play with. So. But over to you there, Tony. KI9G. I think Tony's too busy for rotation.
He just went inside the church, but I'm sitting here in the car. NADAS.
Morning, Gabby. How are you doing today?
I'm a doing. As much as I can be doing.
Okay, let me see if I got it. Good morning to you, Deb. And I guess on a slightly different note, I'm a little bit excited for the club meeting this Monday. I hope I can bring myself to make it. It's past my bedtime. 7 p.m. in LaPorte is a tough one for me, but I'm going to try to make it. I want to show off that QMX Plus to everybody. I know Jim was kind of itching to operate on it, and I know Hayden I think Hayden actually ordered one. He might have received it by now. I haven't heard from him in a while, go ahead, Steve.
I don't know why you don't build an N-Fed half-wave. I mean, you can, they're easy to set up, and I find that they work great for making contact, and they're resonant on multiple bands.
Well, the only issue is that I don't have a toroid for it. So you're absolutely right. I don't want to buy one, but I like to buy stuff. I buy most of my stuff off of Amazon. It's hard to force me to order something that's not on Amazon. If I can come across some a toroid to use, so yes, you're absolutely right there, Steve. There's no reason not to, and I plan on owning an N-Fed half shockwave. I'm thinking about doing what I saw the ham radio tube guy. I've seen him do it. K8MRD, I think it is. He's got he does links on his NFED half-wave, so he can set it up for resonance on 160, 80, 40, 20, and 10, and then he pulls the link out, and then he's got 60 and 30 and 15, and that sounds really good to me. I think that's what I'm going to end up doing.
I will give you a toroid. Maybe I'll try to show up for the Hatchet Club meeting on Monday. So, but I'll try to remember to bring you a toroid. I've got an extra one. It's just going to sit there. I've already built multiple antennas, and I got an extra one. So it's yours if you want it.
Oh, well, that'd be really nice of you. And, yeah, I'll try to make, I'll make sure that I let you know whether I'm going to make it or not so that you can decide whether you can, whether you're going to do that or not, whether you're going to come or not. But, yeah, I'd really appreciate it. I've got some magnet wire around, and I've got some caps. Hopefully I've got the right value. Yeah, that'd be great. I've been thinking about ways that I would encapsulate an NFED half-wave transformer to make it nice and easy to use too, and I've got some end connectors. So other than the toroid, I'd be all set up. I'd really appreciate it.
You got 100 picofarad capacitor?
I've got a kit of caps. Not sure what values I have. So if I don't, that would be because I can buy those on Amazon. That would be an easier order for me, and it would give me a good excuse to buy a kit, too. So.
All right, I'll bring you, if I make it to the club meeting, if not, we'll have to meet somewhere. I will bring you a toroid and a 100 pico, 100 picofarad capacitor. So you'll be all set to build it.
KD9 Joel Mark.
Well, I really appreciate that, Steve. And good morning, Tom. Go ahead with the traffic, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? Steve, I had a trip to Amazon facility a couple of days ago. Moni, I think is where it was a bit of a distance away.
Okay, copy that. I'm sure your car got muddy.
Yeah, it was a good run. It did well. Have you ever been to that facility? I think it's a training facility.
Was it a training facility in Portage?
No, Moni, Illinois.
I've never been there, so no, that's not not something I've been to.
That was just interesting. Came to mind because it is being an Amazon training facility, so I was wondering if you were at it, but. You gave me my answer, so there you go.
Amazon has a little data center in Portage, that right by Bass Pro, that they use as a training for us.
I know you mentioned a couple of different facilities that you've been to. I just didn't remember which ones. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh boy, Amazon is everywhere. I've been thinking about doing some searching for some jobs here too. I saw one for tech for surf internet, though. There's a guy by me that has a surf internet band now. It looks like it's pretty good pay, up to $37 an hour. I could live on that. And I don't know. I just got to get out of holding the wheel all the time. I like diving, but yeah, I don't know. The way that trucking pays, it could pay. Don't get me wrong, but the fact that you know, at any moment, I could end my career in trucking, not to mention end my life. But one little mistake, and my career could be over. You know, and then there's the fact that I'm paid commission. I don't like that. And yeah. And anyway, I just got to get out of it. I'm just gonna keep on looking. That one job fell through, and I got somebody else got picked over me. And yeah. But yeah, that'll be. That ends that halfway. I think that's the way to go. Have you seen those guys that do the links on their connection on the NFED halfway there, Steve?
Yeah, I've seen it, and there's also you can use traps as well. Traps are automatic, and they automatically let the right frequency through, so and stop the wrong frequency. So at the length of the wire, you just got to put the traps in. That's another way to do it, there, Bill.
Well, the whole time I was in the trucking industry, I got paid hourly. My understanding is three ways that truckers get paid: hourly percentage and mileage. So on. I never took a job that paid anything other than hourly.
Yeah. I want to get paid hourly. Somebody keyed up with a link, PT, courtesy tone. I wonder if there's somebody on a link out there. Probably, I think the only thing we're linked at the moment would be the TGIF talk group. Maybe if you, I'll send it back over to Steve, but give him a second there, Steve, and see if somebody's on the link trying to get it in. KI9NG.
All right, guys, I'm almost in the parking lot here, and I've got to get going, but good talking to you this morning. KD9PBR. By the way, Bill, if you want to learn more about the traps, the traps on the half wave, K6ARK has a video on that. It's called "It's a Trap." Anyways, have a great day, both of you guys, and we'll catch you out here. 89 PBR, and I'll be clear.
KD3, and Steve, I hope you have a wonderful day. KD9, you are mine.
You know, it's funny, I just watched that video yesterday. Those are some cool little QRP traps he makes. And I've got some FR boards. So, yeah. Thanks, Steve. I'll check that out, too. Yeah, those little traps look pretty good. And I actually believe they sell those particular Telluroids on Amazon. But you know how that goes. Anyway, 73, Steve, KD9BBR, KI9NG.
Good morning, KI9BBC.
Well, morning, John. KI9NG with KD9UMI. Go ahead with your traffic, sir.
Well, before I jump in, I got about 5 minutes left on this leg, but you know what I'm doing today. So, good morning to you. Yeah, How long of a ride you going on there, John?
Tom, what was your question? I just caught a on the trail. A deer just sailed over a 6-foot fence. Deer didn't look graceful right in front of me.
I was just wondering how long of a ride you go on in the mornings there. And are you on the trail in Michigan City?
Yeah, on the sandy sands trail. This is just my little high intensity run. So, real hard for the first 5 miles. And then I cooled down there to, bring in the 30 minutes. But today's workout was, had to do the 5 miles as strong as I can, so I did under 19 minutes so far.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I got my whole morning workout in, but it was on a stationary indoors. We may take our bikes out tonight and do the trail here in LaPorte.
We turn out this summer just for fun and games. The other day, Sunday, I made my third attempt, successful attempt going out to Harvard and back, and got my all-time personal best for speed. And that was a pretty interesting thing. I found out the handicapper doesn't work as far as 50, higher than 51 is concerned. Oak Savannah Trail. And when I took the Percy Trail, I didn't have anybody come back to me to verify, how well I was holding it. But at least I got to talk to Travis briefly. That trail and 51 is a really noisy area. It's a little difficult in hearing. I look like full strength. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to make out what you're saying that time here, John. It's pretty distorting. Chesapeake Trail, they extended it over to Cummins Lodge, so they have yet to be on it to see how the extension went.
Well, I'm in a deep depression where I am right now, so it's understandable that I ain't going to make it. But oh well. We blame terrain, we blame propagation this morning.
Now, it appears to be more of your setup. I don't know how you have the mic attached or whatnot, but it doesn't seem to be radio distortion other than when you modulate. So, anyhow, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, those headsets, everything's a compromise, right? You got to compromise comfort. And audio clarity, and the breathing, it's no big deal. I got most of it. And it's fun to have somebody out there bicycle mobile, that's for sure.
To admit, I got the shorter antenna on the back of the bike. If I can find my other Vox box, it's got a adjustable gain for the mic, and I know I'm over-modulated, so fortunately that happens. But, second to the last big hill here.
Well, I gotta hop out and get rid of some of this caffeine I got in me. I'll catch you guys later. This is KI9NG. I'll be clear.
Have a good one there, Bill. 33 KU9 your mic.
See you later, Bill. As we were discussed about the other day, I had no luck. Well, I'll still play with that radio. Talk to you. Talk to you soon. KU9PGC.
This is a good guy. BAGC Mobile.
KD9HAY Mobile.
Yeah, good morning, Hayden. KD9PTC.
Good morning there, John. You on your way to work, you out riding the bike?
Both. Just running late on the way to work, and I dread on what I got a heads up of a problem that I'm dreading. Because everything I did Wednesday might have been undone. Oh, well, we'll find out when I get there. But, yeah, I lost some time this morning. But, did a few exercises outside of the riding the bike. I've been working on a stiff neck among a couple other ailments that I've been just sort of working the case out. So at least on that point, the day is really starting out quite well.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. Hopefully you get all that worked out and the stick and stand is good as new. But I wanted to let you know, for the kids' day, starting next Wednesday, I'm switching to nights and I'll be working on nights. So I will be off work sometime Saturday morning. I'll just stay up, and because it's not like the kids' day will be, a super late thing in the day. So I'll stay up and I'll be there for that. But as far as field day, I will probably go home and catch a nap and be there sometime mid to late afternoon and be able to operate on the late end of the day and potentially overnight.
Copy that. Fantastic. I got my vertical antenna, that end fed. I got to put that back up on the tower. And I just haven't done anything to facilitate a cleanup day just yet. So that Saturday morning, the worst case scenario, I'm putting that antenna off Saturday morning of kids' day, but I should be able to get to that, sooner. But anyway, that's the general consensus. And for kids' day, I might come out with something simpler, ICOM 706, for my station. And we're still looking forward to having the big 10 Tech Cube out for field day, nothing else. And appreciate the heads up about what you want to do for not just that, but field day, because that's given me an idea to set my tent up. And instead of possibly sleeping out of my car or have something set up on the back of the Murano and just have to, what I mean? So I have a little different plan on how I'm hanging out. So that's going to work out.
Yeah, I thought that would work well, because it always seems like plenty of participation, during the day. So I figured it wouldn't be too big a loss if I was a little bit later, and then that way for sure you'd have at least somebody overnight then.
I really appreciate it. I mean, that's a good location to stay out through the night all together, you know what I mean? Even the raccoons leave us alone, so, I often made the joke coming to this year, it's like, yeah, when I show up, I got to bring the bicycle with, once around the neighborhood and back, but that's a regular workout ride for me to go from my house to the tower and back. Didn't realize until recently that's a 300-foot climb. 315, I think, is more like it, but that makes sense. 35 minutes to get out there and 20 minutes to get home.
Yeah, I, the last been, gosh, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I made a very, very quick
forte into bicycling. Didn't last too terribly long. But I attempted to ride in my parents' house in Westville from my house, and yeah, I don't think that the rise was quite that much going towards going due south, but it was significantly more difficult, you know, going that direction than coming back. And just to confirm that, I can tell a very apparent difference in fuel economy in my vehicles. Going back and forth to work in Westville, I probably average 3 to 5 miles per gallon better on a return trip than headed south.
Hey, copy that. It's always been my opinion that, you know, it's the harder way to go to come back up from Westville, but that's also the trail that I ride on to say, yeah, it's all uphill. And I admit, on some of those rides, I used County Line Road down to Snyder Road, and then I cross over the highway. I've done that a lot with the mountain bike. The road bike, on the other hand, I pretty much stick with the highway, and I've done that, go down to the fairgrounds, shoot down 2, and then back up 421, and always felt it was the harder way to go to, like I said, the return trip. At least in those scenarios, and but anyway, I can't even remember how well my repeater coverage is going in that direction at this late date. But I did figure out when I used the regular mobile antenna, the 4 foot tall antenna. That's a 6/8 wave for 2 meters. I can make it back from Highway 51 there at Hobart while in motion. And I had a little difficulty, something to add to it on my last ride, because the antenna was loose. So it made matters worse. That's probably why I was picking up a lot of noise at one point talking to Travis. And I knew that wasn't Travis's fault.
Yeah, I know out to the west the coverage is really good. I've been over towards Lowell, going down 65, and coverage is still good all the way over there. This week I'm working out of South Bend this week, and the facility I'm going to is actually at the airport on the north side, and coverage over there, I don't get to test the coverage going east very often. I just don't hit that way too terribly often, but yeah, even the coverage in South Bend's really good with a mobile.
Well, that's fantastic, because that ridge there, that part of what we call Studebaker Hill, it makes a fast drop-off when you're running east. Coverage in general, whether it's 2 meters, CB, or what. And my younger days, I remember, and the repeater was in a different location, but I remember there was a dropout area. So then the closer I got into South Bend, everything was brought back in. That's using a handy talkie inside of a school bus. Halfway vertical, hanging from the ceiling inside said school bus. And it sort of saved our butts on one cold night when the bus broke down, you know. And that's the short version of that story is whenever we got close back to home from these out-of-town swim meets, I would auto-patch home, and it started a calling tree, so the parents all knew when to take off, so there was hardly a wait to pick us up. Well, on this occasion, it was a little early, and there were some confused parents. But yeah, the bus broke down, but hey, you guys wanna come out, and I can't think of what road that was, because we didn't quite make it out of South Bend. And every time we turned the headlights on, the bus would just shut down. It was an electrical issue. They all came out and picked us up. You know, so we have 4, if not 5, vehicles, you know, loading everybody up, is the way it got coordinated.
Yeah, copy that. That's definitely a good use case. And it's not as nearly as bad as it used to be. Cell phone coverage now is, you know, all pretty consistent, at least in this area. But usually, even at the house, you know, my wife isn't licensed, but I try and leave the radio on somewhere in the house that's within earshot of her when I'm not home. That way, that just that case, you know, something happens, don't have cell phone signal, whatever. Still have a pretty good, reliable way to get some word back to the house if I need some assistance.
Hey, copy that. Yeah. Well, that's a thing too. So at this point, on the bicycle, I'm doing the same thing. I leave something running. And of course, the wife is licensed. But yeah, she could go and, hear the progress report. But a few weeks ago, it sort of shocked her to see on Facebook, there's a picture of the bike sitting right there at Highway 51, and then another picture where it's at the trailhead for the Pensy, right there in Hobart. She was just worried if she had to go out and try to find me, okay? Yeah, I also have to train her a little bit. She's got a little goof recently. She did make an attempt to bug me one day. And it just so happened I end up passing her on the highway on I-94 and that. And she purposely went to Simplex. Caught me on the, tried to talk to me on the output. And, but it's still a little messed up in her head. Working one particular radio, but, you know, she just thought if she had to drive out there and find me, that's what had her all worried. She's like, she's not worried about me breaking down, she's worried about the bike.
You gotta set up some kind of APRS beacon for the bicycle. I know that they make some pretty small, dedicated little, maybe 1.5 watt, APRS transmitters, and then you could have your exact location and follow your trail and everything on it.
Well, I've been thinking about that, and more importantly, I got an Anycone that I believe can do that. And but right now, I can't get into the unit to unlock it. The previous owner, I think, never did anything with it, but I can't. The computer recognizes that I plug it in. So I got to figure what I'm doing wrong and possibly what software I need. But you can't hit the buttons on that Anycone to just to see what version number software version you got. So, but anyway, but that's just it. I mean, I'm going to seriously check into that radio and see what I need to do to make it working, because I know you have to plug in and do a few things, and there's a good chance that the whole keyboard is just locked up from the factory. I just have to get in with the right software and go click, 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 click. But nothing, other than the driver automatically loading into the computer, nothing else is happening.
Yeah, not sure which radio you have there. On I have an Anycone 878, and when I first got it, I can't remember what version of the firmware it was running. I want to say like 3.05. APRS worked flawlessly, and maybe it was 3.06. I think I'm running 3.07 now, and whenever that update came out, it completely, the APRS just won't work anymore. It'll receive APRS just fine. But none of my beacons getting out will work. Now, Bill has an Anycone 578, and his APRS seems to work great, no matter where he is. So I think you're on the right track. I think it's probably something software-dependent on that. But once you get it figured out, it sticks. I think it'll be probably pretty reliable.
Yeah, it's an 878, just a flat-out 878, no extra letters after it, And it's 2.31 version that's in the factory label on the box saying that's what's in it.
Yeah, so the CPS software that you have to use, that has to match whatever firmware you're on. And I'm not sure if the original 878 would transmit on APRS. I can't remember. If I think about it over the weekend, I'll try and do a little bit of research and see what I can find. I'm guessing probably if it will transmit, there'll be a particular firmware that you can find on Reddit or something like that. There'll be one firmware version that'll work really well and some of the other ones won't. I'll see if I can find some information on that and let you know.
Well, thanks, Steve. That helps. Yeah, I'm going out of town Sunday morning. I'm going to be gone for a few days there. But yeah, something in the near future, I'm anxious. Hey, working.
Yeah, I've had that 8. I have an 878 UV2+, I think is the one I have, and I've had it for probably about 6 months. But all the features that I was looking for an HD to take with me to work, that was about the only radio I could find that would do it. The battery's been real great. It had APRS, had a digital mode so I could use the hotspot, and it's fairly rugged. I think that the Yaesu HD probably would work as well, but in the work environment, it's super dusty and dirty, and I really didn't want anything with a touchscreen. I've had pretty good luck with that Anytone 878. The only thing I can say is, like I said, it's a dirty, nasty environment that I have them in, and usually on Fridays, I would bring the radio back to the house and wipe it down, and I use just a regular baby wipe for a long time, and I happen to have some isopropyl alcohol sitting on the table, and I thought, you know what, I'll just use that to wipe it down. And the moment that I did that, I touched that alcohol to what I'm assuming now is a polycarbonate lens on the screen. The whole thing shattered. So be aware, don't ever wipe those down with alcohol.
I'll probably forget, but I appreciate you telling me that. I really do. I mean, there's a certain common sense I run with. And I can see myself right now, I can see myself, you know, making some mistake along those manners. And we had the wrong cleaning, the plastic safe stuff one time. This goes back a few years at the mill. Well, it was really funny. You go to clean off the Motorola, and what I was trying to do, it was just a microphone connection. I just wanted to spray. The minute that spray made contact with that Motorola, chunks of the Motorola case went flying. Okay, well, I had no problem getting a new radio. The punchline was we had stuff that worked out in the same environment, and we had a boss that took it all away from us because, oh, we got to have this environmentally friendly stuff. I'm like, well, why can't we just keep the other stuff candy until we run out? Nope, we can't do that. Then I told him what happened, and he goes, oh, you did something wrong. I go, no, I didn't. I got out a latex glove, and I go, watch this, Neil. And the latex glove shriveled up. And that wasn't by temperature, you know, coming out of the can. And, oh, did he freak out. Either that was a bad product, or it was environmentally safe that we had some other individuals, other situations besides dermatitis. And, you know, I've been careful, but, you know, ever since, that goes back a few years, I thought you might get a laugh out of this. The next version of environmentally safe wouldn't blow chunks off the radio. Somebody else made the mistake, but if you got a little bit on your fingers, you're not going to leave fingerprints on the radio.
Yeah, sometimes it's really crazy. Even just, you know, common household things that are usually deemed safe. It depends on what they come in contact with, the crazy reactions that they can have sometimes. And, just a lot of times things you wouldn't even think. You think of like brake cleaner and stuff like that coming in contact with different plastics and melting, but even a lot more, what would commonly be thought as gentle cleaners and stuff like that, but a lot of times it just depends on what the materials are and the composition. Just crazy stuff can happen sometimes.
Copy that. See, I've got a lot of those little wipes for cleaning your glasses, and I know there's alcohol in it. And that's where I would really think I would forget if I don't rattle on about it. Because I know there's alcohol content, and I would just think, oh, it works on prescription glasses, so no big deal. I mean, I got a regular screen protector on my cell phone, so I could get away with murder. But that's where I use those wipes on, you know. But I know I can with that. For however reasons I know this, I know I can do that with the cell phone, so never screw up. Like I said, I can see that happening with the radio. But yeah, I'm gonna have to try to figure out what's going on with that radio. And but yeah, I got the cord and all that stuff. Like I said, I don't even think that sucker was ever plugged into a computer. And but that's it. It's got, it's, you know, a couple years on it. And but you know, a couple little baby steps to say what I want and what kind of range I get on the bike, and you know, because it's been quite a few years since I've had any of the ham radio on the bicycle. So because we're also switching, you know, been switching to the road bike as well. So that's how that story goes. Hayden, I'm going to have to let you run to make my mad dash for the wash house and start my lovely day.
All righty there, John. Good talk to you, and we'll catch you later. 73, K9 PGC, KD9HAY.
Yeah, 73, Hayden. And well, like I said, once again, thanks for the heads up for my planning and all that. And, yeah, as always, I hope the weather is completely with us, you know, for field day and that. I miss the camping days, even if everyone's like, you know, run to the tent, bed to the world, stuff like that. But those are some great days of the past. Stories for another time. Once again, have a great day, Hayden. And I appreciate all your help all the way around that, any phone and so forth. Anyway. KD9NG,
KD9NG. 73, John, we'll catch you later too. This is KI9NG. And yeah, give me a call sometime about that enemy zone. I got some real cool information for you. I can boil down that document, that link that I sent to you, and give you some of the good stuff out of it. 73, KI9NG. Good morning, Hayden.
Okay, by the way, the link didn't open up for me, so I'll try it again, but I actually tried it last night and again this morning, and for some reason it didn't open up. I don't know, you know, it's, how can I put it, I don't know if that could be affected by my router. I just didn't, you know, switch off the home system and just see what would happen, but, yeah, I'll check that later on again. Here I'm at work. But, yeah, it didn't, for some weird reason, both links you gave me, the right one and the wrong one, I couldn't bring it up. So, anyway, 33, I got to run, K9PDC.
Yeah, I'll figure something out for you there, John. I'll download it for you and send it to you. Morning, Hayden.
Well, training in the big rig's going well on day 5, and got my test scheduled down in Indianapolis. I'll be heading down there on Tuesday to take that.
Oh, very good, very good. That's awesome. What kind of schedule are you on? I haven't heard you on the radio lately.
This week, pretty much 9 to 5, 9 to 5:30, South Bend time, but it's, you know, 40, 45 minutes over there, so got to leave a little bit earlier than I normally do, and return trip's about the same time, but yeah, usually been leaving a little bit earlier. Next week, be the same until Wednesday, and then on Wednesday I'll flip over and be working
I'm not sure what time I'll go in, probably 6 or 7 p.m. and then get off 4 or 5 a.m.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, glad you made that move there, and I hope you like it. Midnight is something. I was thinking about it, though, and midnights on trucking is, like, really good, you know, comparatively. You don't have to deal with all the traffic and garbage of days. You just got to keep your head on a swivel for the partiers.
Yeah, that and deer. A lot of, from what I've heard, our guys have a lot of animal strikes. At least the guys going down to Indianapolis via 421.
Oh yeah, I'll bet. yeah. I keep telling myself that if I get one, I'm going to take it home with me. But I don't know. It depends on the weather. If I get one in the right weather, I'm going to take it home for sure and string it up in the shed. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's not the greatest meat anyway when they're hit. So I don't know. I think that I'd keep one, but yeah, it also depends on where I'm at in my shift too, I guess. But how do they deal with that? Do they even try to figure out whether those are avoidable or not, and hold you, you know, responsible in any way if you strike a deer, or do they just chalk that up to bad luck every time?
I would imagine they're going to look at telematics. If you were doing something you shouldn't be, like, you know, speeding or whatever, we have the Linux cameras too, so if it pops up you were speeding and distracted and you hit a deer, I probably assume that they're going to try and pin that on you. But I would assume if you know, you're going the speed limit and not distracted, they're pretty much going to chalk that up as unavoidable and just go on about your business.
KD9, you'll mind.
Yeah, Roger, on the unavoidable. I got into a wreck the other day. It wasn't bad. I took somebody's bumper off, but now they're contacting. They've it's stupid too. We were all stopped, and I pulled forward 3 feet, heard a crunch and a honk, right? And now they're claiming that they're injured. All I did was touch their bumper with my lug nut and ripped their bumper off at 0 miles an hour, and they're going to claim that they're injured. It's ridiculous. But good morning, Tom. Go ahead with your...
Good morning again, Bill. Looks like I'm not going to be doing HF for a while.
Negative copy. You're not going to be doing something for a while. Go ahead.
HF. I'm not going to be doing HF for a while.
Huh. Well, that's a shame.
My random wire that was up in the tree is no longer up in the tree. Apparently all the wind moving the branch around wore it thin and ended up breaking.
Okay. KI9NG. Go ahead, Hayden.
KD9HAY, what ended up breaking down there, your wire or the limbs on the tree?
The wire itself. A couple days ago, I wasn't getting HF in, so I didn't get out there until today and found out the wire is broken. So, looks like I'm not going to be able to do HF for a while. I've got too many other things going on. I can't mess with that right now.
Ah, oh, sure you can. Probably 20 minutes. I don't know. Going on a trip, that's a high priority to get that HF going so I could play. At least it would be for me.
Good morning, by the way, Hayden. I got wood working to finish up, so I can't take time to mess around with the antenna right now.
I see you operate on the same band all the time. You maybe get a couple of hamsticks, set up a hamstick dipole, something that you could literally just clamp onto something and run with it. That'd be, at least as a backup, something real quick and easy you could throw together.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to look into some other option because I think that's going to continue to happen, that the wire's going to end up continually breaking. And I just don't have time to mess around with stuff like that. You know, I have to figure out something that's more durable.
Sounds to me like a recommended course of action would be to put some suspension on there. So get yourself a bungee cord or something, right? And attach it to the tree with bungee cord. That way everything's allowed to move. You don't even have to put the bungee cord on the tree. You can put the bungee cord on the low side, so that way when the tree moves, the whole wire moves a little bit, stretches it out. That way you're not all fixed in place, and you've got somewhere for it to stretch at. But that brings me to another question for you, Hayden. Did you, I believe you told me you ordered the QMX Plus. Did it come in yet?
Negative. I can't remember on their website. They said that they are out of stock on a particular component. I can't remember if it's the board for the actual radio or the part for the GPS. Because I did order the Plus with the GPS dongle or board or whatever is in that. And whatever the case is, they said that part's supposed to be arriving to them approximately June 10th. So if I had to guess, I'd say I'm looking at probably towards the later half of June before it comes back in. I did, I think I told you, I picked up a 3-amp-hour Bio-Eno battery for it, and I picked up a really neat little 25-foot run of, I think it's RG-174. DX Engineering had some pre-made really light QRP coax with BNC connectors on it, and it looks like, at least on the HF side, losses are not that catastrophic. So really looking forward to kind of getting the opportunity to delve into that radio and the super portability of it.
Well, my random wire does have a spring on one end of it, so it had the chance to give some. So I haven't looked at the wire itself. I haven't pulled it down yet, but I did notice that it was split. So it's no longer up in the tree. Just going to have to figure something out.
Oh, wow. Well, you did have some suspension on it. Wow. That's kind of surprising. Maybe a branch fell on it or something. Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah, I'd have to throw something up before I left. I wouldn't be able to leave. Either that or I'd take it with me. Well, I mean, I guess then always you'll always have UHF. But yeah, I think you might have been an iPhone guy. Yeah, you can't Echo Link yet. You can Echo Link into my node, but my node's not configured at the moment. I could set you up with that. But you don't want to mess with it. So, yeah, there you go. That QMX Plus, man, what a neat little radio. The interface, when you hook it up to a computer and you use PuTTY into the COM port that the QMX Plus enumerates, and then you press enter on the PuTTY terminal. It'll have nothing on the screen, and then you press enter. It brings up the whole menu, everything inside of the QMX menu system, plus a little bit, because it's got some functionality. You can do SWR scan. You can do bandwidth, band pass and low pass filter scan to show you how everything is working. There's even an audio filter scan that it does. And the way that it displays it all in ASCII, this is just very, very cool. You can do a whole bunch of stuff just with a terminal on that radio. Very neat little radio. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, definitely. Think it's going to be something. I think I missed my answer. Anyway, I think it's going to be a real fun little radio to mess around with. And I'm guessing that as time goes on, those things are going to become quite popular. And I'm guessing between the popularity and the ongoing tariff situation, the price in the relative future is going to go up drastically. But glad to have one. I don't have to pay too terribly much for it.
I'm able to get it on into the repeater remotely, so I just won't have any HF for a while until I can get some time to mess with it, and I don't know when that'll be.
Yeah, copy being able to get into the repeater there. What I was saying is that if it were me, I'd have to take the 991 with me, but I'm all set up for that. And then, in order for you to get into the repeater, I could have rigged something up for you via Echo Link. That way, you could still get into the repeater even though you took your 991 with you. And you could always use Tony's machine too. Tony keeps one on VHF UHF all the time, I think. But yeah. Anyway. I'm gonna cut out here, guys. Good to hear you on the air, Hayden. It's been a little while. Glad to hear from you, and hope things go. Hope you get that. I hope you can get it before the end of the month, so you can bring it out to Field Day with us, and we can compare our band pass filters and low pass filters, so I can see what a one that's been factory calibrated looks like, and know why mine, you know. And also see what the power output is. I've got a spectrum analyzer here at the house that I use to determine the power output on mine. And it'd be cool to compare and contrast. But 73 to you guys, KD9HAY, KD9UMI. This is KI9NG. I'll be clear on your final. Go ahead, Abe.
I'll definitely be keeping a loop on that. It's been a week and a half since I checked and seen where my KDP was, but I'll try to remember to check that tonight. I ended up missing my exit in South Bend. I was wondering why the radio was getting awful scratchy, and before I knew it, I was on the west side of the South Helmetville Road. So,
yeah, as far as Echo Link goes, I have that on my cell phone, so it's accessible that in that aspect in that way.
KI9NG. Mobile. Okay, somebody's way out there, but you're coming in on a link. I'm picking you up on the W9LY 2-meter repeater in LaPorte, Indiana, and you're being linked through All-Star. You're probably on one of the 220 repeaters. Over. And negative copy. You're way down, and the noise is better than last time, but it wasn't quite copyable. KI9NG mobile in Burns Harbor, Indiana, on the W9LY repeater out of LaPorte, Indiana. KI9NG. I'm going to have to look at the bubble chart here and see what nodes we're connected to. This is KI9NG.
KI9NG. KA9DLF.
Okay, I hear you, Keith. Sorry for the delay there. I was I'm operating remotely, so I'm doing stuff on the computer here. Had to switch over. I suppose the W9LJ repeater is pretty quiet, huh? And where are you at? Because you're coming in real well.
Well, it's okay for your delay, sir, and I am in the...
Oh, I spoke too soon. you broke up. I copied everything but your location.
Well, we just kicked it up to power for you, just in case. I'm in the shack.
Oh, yeah, copy the shack. That was much better. That's cool. Are you gonna do some HF stuff?
No can do, sir. The radio I have, I'll do 10-meter, but I don't have an antenna out, so that's the only capability I have, and it would be just under like 50 watts, which sometimes you can do it with 5, depending on what's going on. So, it's on my list of things to do, so we just stick to mainly the analog. I've got the digital side up, the N99AA, Kevin's tower over there in Valpo, I got that side up, but they're not connected, they're just, it's basically simplex repeated, I guess, for lack of better terms, KI9DLF for identification.
Ah, roger that. Well, this is an All-Star connected repeater, so if the repeater is not in use, you can feel free to dial
on your DTMF pad, *3, followed by the node number, and this repeater will connect to any node that you type in. Just remember to dial *1, followed by the node number when you are finished. We are currently connected to 8 other nodes at the moment. One of them is private, and but they're all 220 nodes. They're connected up to a hub. The AC9HO hub is kind of the meeting place for a whole bunch of 220 repeaters that don't see a whole heck of a lot of traffic, but yeah, there's some.
Okay. Well, towards the end of your traffic, you had a little bit of interference coming in there. Just FYI for you.
Yeah, okay, copy that. I'm operating remotely off of KC9 EWX's machine. He's got a 991 on a disk zone, I believe. But he is in La Porte. I would maybe guess that the K9ONA may have keyed up while I was talking and interfered with the reception there. Typically do real well off of Travis's 991 Alpha there.
Okay. It sounded like some overlap interference. And my father-in-law has a 911A that's, if anything ever happens to him, that radio is supposed to be coming to me, per his words, not mine.
KI9NG, copy that. That's it's a good radio. It has a pretty minor but inherent flaw in the design. Well, number one, the spectrum scope is the slowest, most, like, it's almost better not even to have one, really. I really hate the spectrum scope on my 991. But the other thing is that there is a USB to serial chip that provides two virtual COM ports to your computer when you plug it in with USB. And that chip has a one-time programmable functionality to it. You can program it with a different device descriptor one time. And in order to do that, what you do is you tie one of the pins on that chip to a 4.7 microfarad capacitor to ground. If you're, and then once you program it, you disconnect the 4.7 microfarad capacitor, and everything's cool. Or if you decided to, you could just never program it, and you could leave it with the default device descriptor, in which case you would just never tie that one pin through the 4.7 microfarad capacitor to ground. For whatever reason, Yaesu decided that they were going to go ahead and tie it to a 4.7 microfarad capacitor to ground and never program it. So when I was operating my 991 on my trip to Xenia, apparently I tickled the pins in just the right way to one-time program that chip to some sort of invalid device descriptor. And now when I plug it into the computer, it just says invalid device descriptor. So, yeah, that's a drag, but otherwise, really good radio. It's got real good sensitivity and selectivity, you know, and it covers all bands and all modes.
So then that would be the chip issue you were having with your radio. So understood. A lot of that is over my head, but hey, my ears are open and I'm taking it in like a sponge.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all in the data sheet. This guy was talking about it on the TubeView. And he says that he's created a device that hooks up to that USB port and provides an external display for the 991, which is kind of nice. It gives you, it lets you customize and choose what you show on the screen. A little more, a few more features than you're able to show on the screen on the 991 screen. You can show them on this other screen. And in that video, he indicated that he may be able to, because if you programmed that chip with an appropriate device descriptor, then you wouldn't have to worry about it being programmed again with an inappropriate device descriptor, and then you would never have this problem. So, anyway, I have two options at this point. One would be to open the 991 up and remove that chip and replace it, which I'll have to buy a hot air rework station to get that. It's a BGA chip, you know. I think it is. It might not even be. It might just be a very small package. Anyway, I think it's a BGA chip. Solder balls on the bottom of it. And that shouldn't be too bad. But the other option I have at this point is to get a DB9 to serial adapter and just hook it into the back of the radio on the DB9 connector, because that still works.
Okay, that was a little hang time there. In my opinion, it sounds that the adapter going into the back of the radio would be a better option, for the fact that then you're not having to open up the radio every single time that this perhaps happens again. If by the adapter in the back, it's just a quick little, probably two screws undo it, and then you can pop a new one on there and you're good to roll. We're only limited by our imagination, our knowledge, and how much money we're willing to spend. With no further traffic, K9 Yelena, be clear the W9LY for Peter Audible.
Oh, I was talking, but I apparently did not click the button properly. Operating remotely has its issues, but I've got to get going here anyway, Keith. It was a pleasure talking to you, sir. And we'll, hey, also listen in on 462-700. There's some local traffic going around. It's on right now, but I'll catch you later, Keith. WKA9DLMKI9NG.
KE9DDC, this is KE9CST, I'll copy.
KI9NG.
KI9NG, this is KE9CST, how you doing, Bill?
Ah, pretty good, Craig. Pretty good. I haven't heard from Jerry in a while. Been a couple weeks, I think. It's good to hear you too, sir. I had an interesting thought about the Sparse team just today. Need some further hammering out, but I've got a rough idea, I think.
Yeah, let's hear it. I'm on the road for a minute. I'll listen to you.
Well, I think we're focusing too broadly. I think that, it's a great thing to have an overarching SCARS team. You know, everybody, some guys in Lake County, some guys in LaPorte County, some guys in Porter County. But I think that it could be broken down into smaller groups. We just need to find out who's going to be the head of each of the groups, you know. So, like, at this point, I'm thinking, well, since I haven't heard you on the air for a while on Fridays, anyway, maybe it's just a different day change would help you. But so far, I'm thinking Dave in LaPorte, WRFN 262, and then, what's his name, Phil in Lake County, and then Josh the Saw in Porter County. I'll try to bring it up to them over the next couple weeks. And just kind of, you know, maybe once a month or less, you know, every couple of months, we can get together and do the whole thing together. But if it's just a few guys, they could get the SCARS thing going locally with themselves and coordinate themselves and make sure that they've got good comms with each other. And then once every month or two, we can get together and try to do some inter-county operability operations.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. Yeah, it has been a while since I've been on the Friday SCARS thing, that's for sure. But I noticed that whenever there seems to be like a weather event or something like that in my area, we generally kind of get our own thing going. At least it's been that way in the past. There hasn't been nothing like that in a minute. But I'll tell you, though, one of the biggest things that turn some people off to the SCARS, and this is just me and some people that I know talk to, it's not a hit on anybody, it was a hamgram thing, the radiogram thing, and I get it, I understand why a radiogram needs to be done for certain reasons, but, you know, going through that exercise, and I get it if some really detailed information needs to be passed along, but, like, if you're getting on that for, like, a storm is coming, you don't need a radiogram. Hey, man, this is what's coming your way. Get ready. You know? Do you know what I mean by that? That's not a hit on nobody with a radiogram. I think it just turns some people off. Because the last time I was on that, we seemed to be focusing on the radiogram thing quite a bit.
Yeah. And there was some conflict there as well. The information that Alan was providing didn't match up with the information that was provided online, was readily available. So, yeah, I understand that, too. I do see the importance of it, but there really only needs to be one team member, especially if we break it down into three different groups for the three different counties, and there really only needs to be one team member that needs to know, that knows how to do it. That's, you know, plenty. Because in the in-county communications, there isn't going to be a whole heck of a lot of relaying happening, right? Where it becomes important, like stupidly important to be able to do something like that is when it's going to go through six or seven hands, and then you don't want to get a Chinese telegraph going. But, yeah, well, and it's funny, though, like anybody who did kind of disappear because they didn't like it, I never heard anything about it. And then why not come back? I don't know. I don't know. When I bring your idea, not yours, I'm not telling you. If anybody didn't like it, I don't know. I guess that seems a little fickle for us to have totally lost all the guys in LaPorte because of that. And I get it. But yeah, anyway, man.
Well, I don't think that we lost a whole bunch of people for that. I just know that this was kind of like, I don't want to say it was even a complaint, you know, like, because everybody was like, oh, man, I don't know about this radiogram thing. At the same time, we all said, we can see the importance of this.
you know, it's here passing on instructions on how to defuse a nuclear warhead. Well, yeah, you want to get that right. But, you know, like, hey, if a storm is coming or something, you know, like, just say what it is. And I don't think that was the only thing. I think one of the reasons why, well, I can only speak to myself on this, like, you know, summer came up. I do more stuff outside, and of course I'm getting a little bit more into ham radio and stuff now. I still like GMRS, and I use it for quite a bit of stuff, but unfortunately what I use GMRS mostly for now is when I'm on off-roading trails up in Michigan and Wisconsin. But I still play on GMRS every now and then. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, like when we do the few exercises on the radiograms, there was a lot of like, oh my god, this is crazy. And then the whole thing where, like, everybody had different templates, like what you were saying, that got really confusing really quick.
Yeah, yeah, that was a dropping of the ball for sure. I gotta turn this down. I got my radio at home receiving on 462-700, and it's just Mexican guys talking on there, and some road crew talking about closing the road down, and it's coming in, but I'm going to bring that up and try to bring up my proposed change here and see if that, you know, helps anything. I don't know. It is. We have gotten several people in Lake County going now. So what we lost in LaPorte, we kind of gained back in Lake. What's his name? Randy, KD9BBE, who sends out a flyer to all of the new GMRS operators listed in Porter Lake and LaPorte every month. He sends a letter to each of the new GMRS operators, and that's been quite useful. We've had quite a few first-time check-ins from that.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, if I actually might have some free time tonight. Maybe I'll get on Stars tonight. They're still doing it at 7 p.m.
Okay, that was somebody on the 220 link. Your audio was too low. I could not copy on one of the 220 repeaters there. Come on back and let me know if you think that I should disconnect that link, or maybe you've got, if you can boost your audio a little bit. Come on back there, station.
Bill, this is Craig, man. If I got some time tonight, and I may, I'm going to go ahead and probably get on Stars and see what's going on. I'm having some issues with my radio, though. It keeps turning off and on. I might need to check some connections here. Back to you.
Hey, copy that, Craig. ScarsNet will be on the Valpo 700 at 7:30. That is 19:30 Central Time. I will start things off over there. When we're done over there, we'll head over to the N9IAA and do try to get some amateur radio stuff going. But that's been a bit lackluster, too. The participation's been pretty low. But I'm hoping to hook up, have a 20-meter antenna. Or 40-meter antenna, well, one of the two, by the end of, by the time we get the ScarsNet, by the time we get the ScarsNet going for amateur radio stuff. Okay, I'll catch you later, Craig. KE9, CST, KA9NG. I'll be clear on your final.
Yeah, roger that, Bill. I copy 1930 hours. If I got some time, like I said, I think I do. All right, man, I'm getting ready to pull in the driveway here, and I definitely got to check this radio out. It's, I don't know what's going on with it, but... all right, man, I hope you're on the road. Drive safe, and I'll talk to you later. 7-3 is my friend, K9CST. I'll be clear.
Well, that was an interesting tone that I haven't heard before. This is KI9NG. Oh, yeah, okay, so I figured it out. Somebody is just tickling that KC9YNM. This is KI9NG.
Well, it wasn't me. W9QWN.
Oh, boy. Sounds like you got too many radios going there, Joe. Yeah, we've got the W9LY tied in. And, well, we get a different courtesy tone whether the traffic comes from a link or whether it comes via RF. And it's been happening all day. I knew it was a link connection, and I saw that all the 220 repeaters were linked into the LY. And then I tuned in on the YNM, and it is the same thing, different courtesy tone for a link versus RF, and I could tell it was coming in on RF on the YNM. So, anyhow, that was a lot of words.
Okay. Yeah, I usually get this repeater full scale. It's only giving me a couple bars. I don't know if the conditions or the repeater's acting up, but yeah, I still hear that ticking. In the repeater too. I guess that's always going to be there. But there were some times where it wasn't there. I don't know. Okay, yeah, I shut that other radio off. And I just heard you say it was linked over here, so I decided to key up and say, that wasn't me. Yeah, I didn't have it on, so I wasn't hearing someone tickle on this one. It's on the WM9W repeater in Chicago. They do it every night. Midnight, and they do nets all on the weekend. Yeah, they're pretty active over there. But, yeah, just thought I'd key up there and keyed up the Alinko in a while.
Okay, copy that. Now, I'm going to unkey. I don't have the LY. I'm listening on the YNM, and I'm transmitting into the LY. So when I unkey, I think I'm going to hear I should hear a boop, not a toot-toot. But I think I'm hearing a deep tooth. I think they didn't set it up for a different, so it could be, I'm thinking now it could have been any of the linked repeaters. So let me unkey, send it back to you. KI9NG.
Okay, so 9E, that's the afternoon, Joe.
Hello, Alan. This is W9GWM. I'm the KC9YNM 220 repeater. And I get the courtesy tone on the 220 side, the two-tone post BDU. I don't know what that's coming over on the linked repeater. I shut that one off, but go ahead, Alan.
Hey there, Joe. Hey there, Bill. Good afternoon to you. I hope I'm getting in there okay. I'm out here by Michigan Street and Klein Avenue. And the is kind of bouncing around. I don't know, probably my end, but maybe not, I don't know. But working my way back towards Florida. You guys are doing good. Bill, I heard you in there earlier, but I didn't talk much. I wasn't able to get back to you, so I hope you guys are doing good today.
Well, let me make sure I got it. Yeah, I got it. So, yeah, you're right. Now I'm transmitting into the KC9YNM, and you're right. So all traffic gets a beep-boop.
you're shown on the YNM, whether it's traffic or it's RF. Over on the LY, if you hear doot, that's link traffic. If you hear beep boop, that's RF traffic. Anyhow, good to hear you, Alan. And yeah, it's been a little while. And yeah, I just got in a wreck over there on Michigan and Kennedy last week, I think it was Monday. No, Friday. It was a week ago today. A week ago today, I ripped somebody's bumper off with my lug nut. And now they're going 3 miles an hour. They weren't moving. They're claiming that they're injured. So, hopefully nothing. The police report was very much in my favor. So, but over to you, Joe, KF9NG.
Okay, yeah, as you know, my bumper in my truck is bashed in, and I have to buy equipment. Preferably from Toyota, so it all fits, but I have to get the stuff painted to match the two-tone color of my 4Runner, so that's my project for this summer, and again, repeating that I'm going to raise my GMR, and, so that's another project, but yeah, I'm, so I, you know, this 220, people got to get out here more often, because I have a feeling we're going to lose this band. We've already lost part of it to UPS, and they don't even use the part that the FCC gave them. It's like a waste, almost, you know, but I don't know. I just don't want to lose this band. But anyways, I'm going to upgrade this radio as well, because this only puts out 25 watts. I want to get a full 50-watt radio. So Lingo's got a new one, and it's not that expensive. It's really tiny. But this desk, Michael, will go on that radio, and I'll be able to continue on 220. And, yeah, that's about it. I'm just going to go downstairs and put the analyzer on my truck to kind of just make sure it's, you know, in sync with everything. And I got no plans other than just chilling out here. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, very good, Joe. It'd be good to get more activity on T20. So that would be awesome. Now, you say Alinko's got a 220 radio? I know there was a 9000. He said TYT. I think they've got the 9000 that it is 220. I didn't know Alinko got another one going. I've got the Alinko 235 that I'm using right now here in the big truck. So I haven't been following it too much. But I've got an old Kenwood 221 sitting at the house, not even using it right now. It's so old, I think it's 30, 40 years old.
To copy, Alan. I switched over to listening on the LY, and it was quite a bit clearer. Very interesting. Probably clearer if I get on the internet and listen. But don't forget to answer the question about the Alinko radio there, Joe. But we are currently on the air on at least 7 different repeaters, 6 of which are 220, and I've been listening all day, most of the day today, and have heard zero 220 traffic on any of those repeaters. The great Grand Rapids, Elkhart, Russiaville, and then Alpenville, and then there was another one somewhere else too. So yeah. The UPS. They gave up their portion of the band, and as far as I know, the railroad either was or is using part of that portion of 220 now. I'd love to hear some more definitive information about it, but that's as much as I have heard, and it could be wrong. So, to my best knowledge, over to you, Joe, KI9NG.
WA9GWM. Yeah, the new radio Linko came out with is the DR-CS25. And that is a 50-watt radio instead of a 25-watt radio. So I'll be upgrading to that. And but it's really small. I kind of like the larger radios. But Alan, I'm on the DR-235 Mark III with the Linko EMS-14 desk mic, desktop microphone. And I'll probably either get the new one that goes with the new Linko, or I can just plug this one right in the radio because it has the same mic configuration. I do like the Linko hand mics, the nice hook that's on top of it, you know, that circle, the metal piece, and the keypad is pretty nice. I think that's EMS. I forgot the name of that one. Oh, EMS 51? Oh, no, 57, I think. Yeah, I'm looking right here. But, yeah, these the guys that are on the W9W repeater all run these desktop top microphones. And everybody sounds good on them. But, yeah, we'll see what happens with that new radio. Because a lot of those guys are running them now, too, for the extra power. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, well, I've got the 55 Mach Nothing. It's the original version of it. That's what I'm currently running. But I'm going to need you to talk about the other radio a little bit more. Right when you were talking, the voice identifier covered you up. It was louder than you were, so I didn't hear anything of it. So give me that information on the new radio. Aside from the fact that it's smaller, that's about all I got out of it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let skip, but I did want to interject that that is a setting of an easy fix on the All-Star note there. I'll have to talk to Travis, maybe he can get in there and fix it. He did the linking here. So I'll get in touch with Travis, and he should be able to dial that voice identifier back down. It's called Courteous. I can't remember now. But I can't remember what. But I'll have to look. But we don't do this over on the LY. I fixed that. So
okay. Alan, I'll send you. I'll email you that link. The Linko, the new one, the CS25, and you can look at that. The specs on it and all that. And The new desk mics they have for a Linko now have the ability to put them on any of the radios they put out, even the older ones. It has a mic cord that unplugs from the microphone and then has the new, all the different configurations. I think there's four original mic cords that come with it. That's pretty kind of cool. So I may even get the desk mic and put this one away somewhere. But, yeah, I really enjoy this radio. It seems like it cuts out when people are talking, and I don't know. This radio's old. It's sat for a long time, but I don't know if I got the radio set correctly. But anyways, we'll have to end up getting the RT Systems software that is the Linko too. I'm gonna definitely get that. I have the RT Systems for this one. And then I have another one that is an older version from a different company, but I use RT Systems now. And I have the original Linko made in Japan cord, USB cord for this one. It just plugs in the front faceplate. So, okay, I'll get out of here and get back to my little project here. I put a new case on my Simpson 260 meter that I bought at the Hamvention. I got the hard case with the shutter so you can close it and protect it from the elements. And I was really happy to get that brand new in the box. so I'm putting that together. You got to take the cover off the back cover off the original Lenko, or the Lenko. I keep saying a Lenko, 260 meter, and then you put the cover that comes with the enclosure on, and then you bolt it in, and it's got the handle and everything for it. So in the middle of doing that, I'll have my 260 back.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good find. I hope you have fun putting it on and getting it to work. That'll be awesome. I think next year's Peyton, I'm going to try and take a couple days and go. I've never been to Peyton, so I think I might want to give it a try. We'll see if I can work all of that out. I'm not sure when the next Peyton is, and I'm pretty sure at this point it's already got hotel rooms that are pretty booked up. So, not sure that that'll work, but it's still got 11 and a half months to go before all of that happens. So, heck, a lot could change by then.
You can get in there on LY anytime you want now. If you want to know if the 220 repeaters are linked to the LY, you can go to allstarlink.org and search for WLY, and then once you're there, you click on the node number for it, and then you can hit the bubble chart, and you can see all the connected nodes. Tom, it's good to hear you guys. Thanks for riding with me on the way home, 73. This is KI9NG, and I'll be clear on your final. I think you didn't give your final there. Yeah, I didn't hear you say off and clear, so I guess it's over to you, Joe.
Yep. I will do it now. I'll send you a picture of the Merit with the new cover on it. It's pretty heavy duty. And I'll send that link to the new Alinco to you, Alan. Okay, we're going to be clearing out here and going back to my project. WA9JWN will be off and clear.
Hi, Joe. Good to hear you guys out here. And we'll catch up with you all. Good weekend, Bill. I don't know. I'm going to be away from the house this week, and I probably will be next week as well. So I don't know what you've got going for skies. I haven't kept up with that. I'm so sorry. But my Friday nights have been, kind of crazy. I'm going to be working at my mom's house tonight and tomorrow. Got some stuff. Has to be taken care of there. So, anyway, we'll catch up with y'all later. I will have to see with me, and I should be able to get into N9IAA, but that's going to be about it. Catch y'all later. 7-3, this is KA9ESD, Mobile, Miller section of Gary, Route 20. Catch y'all later.
W9DLP, listening.
Hi, Dave. KI9E, mobile.
Hey, Jim. How you doing? Nice to hear somebody I can actually understand.
I copy that. Yeah, sounding good yourself there. Which radio are you on there, Dave?
The Icon 2730 on 2 watts.
Yeah, full quieting and good audio there from the 2730.
I love that radio. Now there were a bunch of guys on earlier, 220 links and wires X links and all this, and all the audio sounded, to me sounded rough, but I guess it's the new toy, it's working.
Yeah, I heard some of the traffic there, a little bit of it earlier, before I had to duck into Walmart there for a minute, heading back home now. But is the tornado testing going on tomorrow? Tornado siren testing?
Yes, sir. I'll open the net about 10:15, 10:30.
Okay, I'll try to make it. I've got to go in early to work tomorrow. We're put 4 hours in for weekend coverage. Hopefully I'll get out on time.
Yeah, hold on just a second. I'll be right back. Yeah, we have a request. The request line for the reviewing pleasure, or audio listening pleasure. Michigan City Gen Station, otherwise known as NIPSCO. Long Beach Fire Department, Washington Park, Senior Center in Lot 1, and I hope sirens at the fairgrounds.
Okay, on the one, I might be able to catch the ones at the fairgrounds possibly. You know, it all depends if I get out early enough, but I'll check in if I'm able to do that.
Happy to have you, sir.
That's the time of year where you might have tornadoes, so it'd be good to check those for sure. How's the HF bands been, Dave? I heard they've been kind of bad lately.
Oh, yeah. I've tried a couple. I even get on DX Summit. Oh, there's a nice one, Galapagos and this, that, and blah, blah. Hey, that'd be fun again. They're on 20 meters, and I go over there, and I can't hear Dilly Squad. And they're being spotted by, like, Florida and Texas and we're North American stations.
How's that? Yeah, I got on a little bit last weekend. Made a CW contact with the station in Florida. But it's coming in pretty good. So maybe the band's too bad at that time. He was S9 plus and he's hearing me pretty good.
If I use this mic, is my audio, how's my audio compared?
Your audio's crystal clear, sounding good.
Okay, yeah, this is the desk mic I got rigged up for this radio. Hopefully it'll be a little bit easier when I'm trying to write stuff down. I wish I need a foot key, but okay, yeah, as long as you, okay, well, let's do this. I'm about 4 inches away. W9DLP testing 4, 5, 5, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, and about 10 inches away. Is the audio drop way off?
Maybe just slightly, but not too much.
Okay, so in this neighborhood is usable.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty good, nice and clear sounding. Which desk mic is it?
Good old Motorola wedge mic.
Yo, Ken, Motorola, very good.
Okay, I got a screwdriver out here. I was doing some setting, adjusting on it. case is sort of like just there. I got kind of screwed up sort of the false card on me.
Yeah, okay, I'm making the adjustments, sir. I'll see. Hopefully I can get on HF here this weekend again in a little bit, see what's going on, maybe do some parks on the air, contacts. Hopefully the bands are getting a little better.
Yeah, really. I mean, but yeah, they've been dead. I came north on 2 meters and 6 meters during the aurora. Couldn't make any contacts and nothing.
Any aurora contacts on 2 meters?
Nope, I was on 2 meter and 6 meter. I was on 144-200 and 50.130 in here. And watch the waterfall. The band scope, it didn't see nothing.
Now, which mode do you use for the going through the aurora there, Dave?
I was just trying sideband.
Yeah, I've heard of CW before during an aurora a long time ago, and it gets a little distorted sounding, but you can still kind of make out the code.
Yeah, sorry if I inadvertently cheated a repeater. I gotta hold this mic up like tiny screws.
Oh yeah, no problem, Dave. Just cruising home here on Route 2 now. Some pretty high clouds building up, it seems.
Clouds or smoke?
Clouds and this big puffy clouds that you kind of see building up before the storm comes in. But I don't know if there's anything in the gas or not.
Yeah,
copy that, Dave. You remember that antenna company, Stepper or Step IR, the ones with the movable elements with the stepper motors in them?
Oh yeah, yeah. I heard they're out of the ham market.
Okay, yeah, have you seen the news on it then? Yeah, I seen that the other day. Looks like they're going to keep supporting the hams up until something like October of this year, and then maybe still sell parts if needed, but you know, looks like they're going to go after a different market.
$12,600.
Oh yeah, some of their big monster beams are like way up there in price like that. That's probably a lot out of reach for a lot of hams for sure. But I understand they worked great. But I also heard that they require a lot of maintenance. Those plastic gears and the gearbox there that didn't hold up too well. Might hold up for a couple of years, and then you have to bring the antenna down and do some repairs on it.
Yeah, that was how to keep spare parts like that around. Yeah, my stuff's up. You know, not running on hand set up there. It works. It'd probably be nice to have one, but I cringe knowing I had 12,000 up there in a year. I might have to maintain it for 2 years.
Yeah, great idea, though.
but they had that nice controller where you can swap the rotation of the beam, you know, push of a button. Instead of having to turn the beam around, you can just hit a button and it automatically flip for you.
Oh yeah, looks good on paper, and it does work. It's like that other guy that came out with that, what do you call it, a cantenna or something?
Talking about the cantenna, the dummy load deal there?
No, it was more like a tape measure. Like, the guy was in a tuna can, and then somebody else came out with that one called a tuna tenna. Was like a car line box, 12 by 12, with some servos in it. And it was all gravity fed with a pulley and everything. It adjusts the length that way. It was
more of a monoband dipole than it was a beam. Yeah, it sounds familiar. I can't picture it though. It does sound familiar, but anyways, just made it back to the house here, Dave. I'll see 7-3 to you, and maybe catch you in the morning. Have a good rest of the day there, and happy Friday to you. W9DLP, this is KI90.
Happy to answer. Nice talking to you, Jim. Yeah, I'm going to run down to the corner here myself in a little bit. So, yeah, by all means, if you can make it tomorrow, I'll be more than happy to have you participate. And most of them are pretty easy to get to, and I guess you've got to find somebody. I'm hoping that his Hayden will be around in the morning. I think we'll have to Long Beach Fire. So, okay. Thanks for doing so. Talk to you later at 7-3-W-9. KNIEW9DLP in Congress. KB9BSK, KNIEW9DLP.
I hear somebody trying to get in, but I'm not hearing much.
Here, Mike, KAUGD.
KAC9TWX. I called out a couple times, haven't heard nobody.
Yeah, let me know what you find. I need to get a hold of him as well, because I was hoping to be able to go to his house this weekend, but I'll share more details with you tomorrow, but Mike tomorrow is going to be filled up with not so pleasant visits, but I gotta go do it. And hopefully, anyway, I'll tell you more later.
Oh, well, don't forget it's game night tomorrow.
What night tomorrow?
Tomorrow is game night at the church.
Oh, yeah, we'll be here for the fun night, because I'm going to need some fun relief.
Anything I can do to help, just let me know, KC92WX.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I know you would. So, you're on the list. Anyhow, let me know what you find out with Mike, okay?
Will do. I'll swing by there and see what's going on.
Alrighty. KA8UGP. I'm going to step out of the office and go get the lights and power turned on and get ready for our music rehearsal. KA8UGP.
KD9ZBJ from KC9CWX.
KD9ZBJ, what's up?
Oh, you gotta go make a couple pit stops. I gotta change clothes and then we gotta run.
Are you home yet or on your way still?
I'm on my way. On my way. Probably about 15 more minutes.
All right, I'm just leaving my street right now, so I'll go and let the dogs out and get you some clothes out. Where do we have to go?
Hey, go check on somebody.
Okay. All right, I'll just grab your clothes when I get there and have them out and ready for you.
Hopefully with a smile.
Always, always with a smile.
Did Scott even message you back after you messaged him?
No, after I got off the phone with you, I had a couple calls and I forgot to message him, so that was my bad. It doesn't say it's supposed to rain tomorrow, so maybe we can have him do it tomorrow.
Well, if it don't rain tomorrow, then that changes what I'm going to do, so then I can get that done. That's no big deal.
Have you ever heard of a place called Dune Billy's?
Nope.
It's in City. It's supposed to be a little cafe, a little breakfast lunch place in City. Anna went over there and applied for them today. She says she's pretty much hired. She's just got to wait to hear back from them by Monday, she said.
There you go.
It's doing what she didn't want to have to do, but, you know, it's a paycheck, so she doesn't care at this point. But that way she has a job, and then that way she can either decide to go back and do part-time for school or continue to look for another job while she has one.
It is beautiful out today.
It is. It's cloudy, but it's still nice out. Comfortable weather.
I wish I had some firewood.
We can make another pit stop somewhere and get some. You have like four people that you can get firewood from, don't you?
I'm not putting that in my car. That's not happening.
That's what sparks are for.
No, it's still straight stuff. No, I'm not damaging my car putting that in here. I put a lot of stuff in my car, but I draw the line on firewood.
So by the end of the day, I still haven't heard from my boss about anything, so we'll see come Monday, because I think she said, like I said, she had to talk to my coworker and to find out what's going on. So I guess she wasn't able to get in touch with her, but we'll see what happens.
It just sounds goofy. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like you said, I think they're like out to get me for some reason. Well, that's what my mom said, but whatever, it is what it is. If they write me up, then, you know, I do exactly what my job title says, and no more, no less.
I wish I could afford a riding mower.
Just do what your sister did. They can't afford one, and they have one. Does Dad have one?
My dad's had one since I was like 10 years old. Still has the same one.
Does he have another one that you can buy off of him in the shop or anything?
No, he hasn't had any that ran. I gotta go over and talk to my buddy Brian. I bet he's got one laying around.
It would be so much easier for your property to have that done, and so much faster, too.
It takes about 2 minutes to mow it with the riding mower. Should order them seeds for those black and red hostas. Them look neat.
I saw the blue and white ones yesterday. They look pretty, too. So I don't know. I think it's just the green and white ones that I have. I don't like them. But when you add color to them, they're really pretty.
Good thing I was going slowly.
What happened?
I passed the sheriff.
I was coming over first over Michigan, and a cop was coming down the road, and I had the mic to my hand. I was like, go ahead and stop me. Go ahead and stop me. I'm doing nothing wrong.
Debbie got a ticket for that.
Deb did, right?
Yeah, she got a ticket for that.
Did she ever fight it?
I think she paid it.
So the U-Haul van is in front, parked now in the driveway of the Naughty Audi place.
There's still cars there with Florida plates. I sure hope they're not moving more people in.
I don't know if there's more cars there because I could only see, like, the U-Haul's blocking the whole driveway. And I see one car behind it, but I don't see what the plate is for.
Maybe they just came to help them move. I don't know. I seen two Florida-plated cars there yesterday. I mean, they kind of thought, made me think that they're going to move more people in there.
Can't imagine where they're going to be and how they're going to stay in there and sleep in there with everybody else that's already there. So, but I am in front of your house, so I'm going to get off of here, and I'm going to run in the house and get what you need. So when you get home, we can just get going. So I will say 73's KD9ZDJ will be clear.
All right, I'm on Waverly Road. I'm just about there.
KC9 CST.